Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing today?
Doing wonderful, Eric. How about you?
Doing fantastic. We're moving forward. Things are good.
Beautiful spring morning today. 2 inches of slush on my deck. It's been a very, very fun April. And as I just mentioned to you offline, I'm sitting here watching the snow melt, the rain come down, and I'm listening to the peepers out in the woods. It's just so cool. Only New England.
Actually, not only New England. There were large swaths of the country that got snow yesterday and today.
Oh, yeah. There were like half of the Major League Baseball schedule was snowed out this past weekend. Of course, it's their own fault for scheduling games in April in northern cities like Minneapolis. It is what it is. It was 75 degrees and we ate on the deck on Friday, and it'll be back soon. So can't wait.
That's it. Spring and winter are fighting it out, and you know, we'll see what happens. So today we're going to talk about, we're actually going to revisit the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And the main reason we're revisiting it is it's such a classic and has affected so many people and inspired so many other books that we really think it's worth a second look, go over and see what we can learn from it, because every time you read it, there's something new.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, after we've reviewed How to Win Friends and Influence People a couple times, refer to that all the time, and this was a logical sequel to really just wrap things up into really 7 principles as far as 7 habits that highly effective people have. And it's just a wonderful book, and you can go online and Google that and get a diagram of what we're going to be talking about, because there's a nice diagram that relates to all these things that we're going to talk about today too. But Stephen R. Covey came up with a winner there.
Absolutely. And breaking it down into 7 things makes it very easy to digest. And it's things that, you know, they're not surprising. When you hear them, when you read them, you get that blinding flash of the obvious. It's like, how could I not have thought of this before? But most people actually don't, and it's really a great reminder. And habit number 1 is be proactive.
Yeah, that's the action habit. Plain and simple, do something instead of being reactive.
Right, and we've talked about how you react a lot. What you do with your reaction really has more of effect than what happened to you. But this is about taking control and actually taking action before you have to.
Yeah, it's looking in the mirror, taking responsibility for your life, and it's the courage habit where you just go out and do something, because the bottom line is if you don't, you're going nowhere. If you want to achieve your goals, you have to be proactive and work towards them. And the bottom line is, we've talked about this time and time again, every perceived failure is just one step closer to the success. So you just got to go, go, go.
All right. There's a great quote that I absolutely love, and I don't know who it's from, but it's try, fail. Try again, fail better. And that really is about being proactive, because you have to take those steps. Even if it doesn't work the first time, you keep pushing through. You learn from what went wrong and you keep going. And taking those actions are really key to being proactive and moving your life forward.
Yeah, instead of worrying about where you're going, you're taking control to get there. It's controlling your own destiny.
And there's a chart that they show with this. It's one circle, a small circle inside a larger circle. And what it does is it shows when you have the proactive focus, your circle of influence takes up most of the space. And the outer circle is your circle of concern. So it's showing that by being proactive, you can actually control most of the things that you are concerned about. Whereas if you're taking a reactive focus, your circle of influence is a lot smaller. So there's a lot more that you may be worried about that may affect you that you can't, that you're not being able to control because you're waiting for it to happen rather than taking action in advance to make sure it goes your way.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a different diagram from you, but it's also a popular one where there's a circle and we have the three habits on the bottom, the first three, which are your private victory habits, which take you from dependence to independence. And then when you get to independence, that's when you have these habits where you're working with teamwork and so on and so forth to get to interdependence and synergy. And wrapped around the whole thing is habit number seven, which we'll talk about, which ties everything together, which is sharpening the saw, which works on all the other facets of your life besides what we're going to be talking about today. But being proactive is number one for private victory, and that private victory is taking control of your own destiny. And then a really, really good way to guide yourself there is habit number two, which is begin with the end in mind. And that is the planning. That's taking a look at what you want to accomplish. This is the affirmation goal. I am, I have done, and so on and so forth.
Right. Beginning with the end in mind is crucial. In fact, when we have coaching clients, beginning with the end in mind is actually one of the first exercises that we do with our clients. We tell them, we want you to think about the fact that it's a year from now. Everything in coaching has gone great. You've met all your goals. You've gotten everything you wanted to get out of it. What does this look like? Where are you? What are you doing? What kind of clients do you have? And we get them to create a mental picture of where it is they've ended up with everything going right. And that becomes their goal. So now the planning is easier because we see where it is they want to end up. We have where they are. Now it's a matter of creating steps to fill in the blanks so that, you know, picture A, where you are, ends up looking like picture B, where you want to be.
Yeah, so this is really, it's the leadership principle. So for yourself and obviously in a company, if you're working on your vision and everybody's working towards that, that's what beginning with the end in mind is. It's goal setting and everybody working towards the same finish.
All right. There was a summary of the book that put it this way. It said, if the first habit is you accepting that you're the creator, the second habit is your first creation. It's about really putting together where it is you want to be and taking action to create that image and create it as reality. And of course, you know, there's always the famous philosopher Yogi Berra who said, be careful if you don't know where you're going, you might not get there.
Or if you see a fork in the road, take it.
Exactly.
So.
But he was absolutely right. If you don't know where you're going, the odds are against you getting there.
Absolutely. And the third habit in this private victory triangle here, again, first one's being proactive, the second one's beginning with the end in mind, is the time management habit. It's called put first things first. And that's once you have the end in mind, and you're ready to act on things, it's prioritizing things and working on what's the most important thing. So this, I call this one the time management habit.
Right. And, you know, Covey in this habit describes four levels of time management. He talks about notes and checklists. He talks about calendars and appointment books. He talks about daily planning in terms of goal setting and prioritization. And finally, he talks about categorization of activities and purposely focusing on certain ones and excluding others. And it's really about putting together a process to get to that end that you just defined in habit number two.
Yeah, a lot of people use the quadrant approach. I think that might be the Brian Tracy thing, the urgent and important, and then the not urgent but important, and so on and so forth, down to not urgent and not important. But the bottom line is you need a system to prioritize things so that you are getting the most efficiency out of what you're doing. And that's what this is really all about. It's looking at the most important task. And we've talked in Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy, things like creative procrastination and delegating out other tasks and so on and so forth, because sometimes the ones that are easiest to do and the ones that you want to do the most are the least important or not important at all. So,
right. And using that quadrant method, you're looking at things in combinations of urgency and importance. So things that are urgent and important are crises and emergencies. Things that are important but not urgent is prevention, planning, and improvement to make sure things go right. Things that are urgent but not important, well, those are interruptions. Those are actually keeping you from doing what you should be doing. And if it's not urgent and not important, it's a time waster.
Absolutely. And it's quadrant number two, which is not urgent but important, that is really, really the killer, because what is in there, that is the planning one. And if you do not set aside time to work on that, it all of a sudden goes into what I call the gun to your head quadrant, which is urgent and important because you have to do it now.
Yes.
You know, back in school when you're cramming for that test, when you've had 4 weeks to study for it, or when you're working on this project for your client and so on. And this time management principle is so important. And I don't know if Stephen R. Covey still has his time management tool out there, but he actually has a calendar that has all of these quadrants out there. And he wrote a book called Put First Things First that was all about this. I'm pretty sure that that was one of the books that he wrote.
Yeah, I think he still has the time management tools out there, and you can get those. But realistically, if you're looking at this and, you know, you're reading the book, you can actually create your own time management system as long as you're making sure that you are putting time aside to prevent problems, to plan where you're going, and to improve what you're doing, which is that quadrant two, because that's what keeps you on track. That's what keeps you from going off the deep end and going, oh my God, you know, this project's due in 3 hours. I haven't gotten enough done yet. You have to get it done. But you have to plan to get it done. It doesn't just happen.
Yeah, and the calendar that he did have, if obviously if you don't want to use it, if you just look at the items that are on there, that will help guide you as to what you should be looking at to organize your put first things first strategy.
Exactly. The fourth habit is think win-win. Now, I find this very interesting because people talk about win-win situations all the time. Although we spoke about a book not too long ago, The Go-Giver, which talks about the fact that you shouldn't be thinking win-win. You should just be thinking, how can I get the other person to win? So both of these books have, you know, very interesting points, but, you know, there is that split. Should you be worrying if you win or not, or should you be working towards the greater goal and getting other people to win, and you go along with that?
Yeah, and what we are, we actually have crossed from dependence into independence. And we're working towards interdependence, which is, this is the first habit where we're working with other people. And one of the premises behind this is that there is plenty for everybody. There is no lack out there. And, you know, we're going to be talking about how to achieve this win-win, but that's one of the most important things to look at. And the bottom line is that if you are thinking of ways to make it work out for somebody else too, you are going to attract back people who want to do that for yourself also, whether this situation comes out to win-win or not. Sometimes, you know, we've talked about, in the sake of disagreements, just agreeing to disagree and letting it stay that way, because there's no way that you're going to be able to resolve that. But it's really, really important to have both sides in mind when you're working with other people. And which is a perfect lead into, I mean, these are so logical that they stick together. Just like you mentioned, these are blinding flashes of the obvious, or way back for those of you people who were freaked out in the 60s, BFOs, blinding flashes of the obvious, as opposed to UFOs, unidentified flying objects. But
right. And in fact, the key behind thinking win-win, as you said, is that mindset of lack. You need to get past that mindset of lack, thinking if somebody else wins, I can't. Both this book with Win-Win and The Go-Giver, where you're focusing on helping the other person, that getting rid of the mindset of lack is key in both cases. Because what you have to come to understand is if you can get the other person to win, you can win as well.
And it may not even be in this instant, because that person is going to remember what's going on. It's the outreach, the follow-up to this is just, it's intangible, but it's really unbelievable. And really the best way to get to win-win is habit number 5. And this is the listening habit. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. It's the proportional 2 ears, 1 mouth, and really, really listening and understanding what the other person is saying, whether you agree or don't agree. It's really, really important to do that. And the bottom line is, it's going to help you out a whole lot more in what you're doing. It will make you feel a whole lot better, because you will be engaged with everybody that you talk with, as opposed to trying to take advantage of things. So very, very important habit is the habit of listening, habit number 5.
Yeah, it's a key habit, and unfortunately, it's a habit that most people forget to follow through on. I have seen, especially on social media, over and over again, examples of people arguing when they're actually saying the same thing, but because they're not really listening to each other, they're just getting into this heated argument over absolutely nothing, because at its core, they agree. So if you're not listening to what people are saying, you don't really know if you agree or not. And more importantly, it shouldn't even matter, because either you agree with them and then you can just move forward together, you disagree and have an open mind to see where that other person is coming from, or you disagree, cannot come to a compromise, so you agree to disagree.
Yeah, one of the best ways to handle this one too is to really go back to How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that's the habit of, if you don't understand what the person is saying, or you really want to let them know that you're listening, just repeat what they said and say, all right, I'm trying to understand this. This is what you said. Is this correct? And so on and so forth. And get them explaining themselves that way, as opposed to saying you're wrong. If you can get them into that, sometimes it's all in the presentation. I mean, we're all human, and some people are easier to present things than others. And if you can get them to present it the way that you understand it better, just by asking questions and repeating things, it's a great way to do that. And boy, does that make them feel good, because all you have to do is ask them one question about what they're talking about, and they're going to say, wow, this person really cares. And that's so important.
Right. And asking questions is very important. And yet so many people will not do it, because they don't want to appear that they don't know what's going on. They don't want to be seen as having questions. They want, you know, we have all the answers and we've taken care of it. Nobody knows everything. It's fine to ask questions, because that's how we learn. And people who do have great amounts of knowledge got that way because they asked questions. It doesn't just appear out of thin air.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, if you're asking questions, you're coming more from the heart rather than your ego. And people can see right through you if you're talking from the ego side of things. So if you are genuinely interested in what the other person's saying, that's just going to flow right through the whole thing. And it's just so, so important. And that's how you influence others to act that way. No matter how smart you appear and so on and so forth, as you said, nobody's perfect out there. And a little bit of humility, even a little bit of humor in there, saying, look, you know what, perhaps I have a mental block here or something like that. It always helps. It breaks through the ice, even in a crucial situation. So just be yourself and enjoy the situation for what it is. And asking questions is a great way to do that.
Absolutely. And it travels right into the sixth habit, which is synergize, which is, you know, working together. And you can't work together if you don't understand where the other person is coming from. So habit six really isn't even possible without habit five, because you have to be able to understand where your teammates are coming from, where the people you're working together with are coming from. If you don't understand, if you don't listen, then you're not going to be working together. You may be working towards the same goal, but you're not really working together. So you may be duplicating efforts. You may be canceling each other out.
Yeah. And when things are really, really humming, this is where the formula is: the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Right.
2 = 6. And the bottom line is that if you are thinking win-win, if you are listening and seeking to understand, then what you're going to get from the rest of your team is buy-in from them, because everybody's on the same page working towards each other. And that's where magic happens. So synergize is really the culmination of the other habits, where it's the huge teamwork habit.
Right. And synergy really is the core of innovation. Innovation at its most basic is taking two things that haven't been put together and putting them together to see what happens. If you have people who haven't worked together and they can get to that point of synergy where they're building on each other's work, that's where innovation comes from. That's where real success comes from, because one person can only move so far so fast. Two people, you're doubling that. Three people, you're tripling that, because when you really have synergy, it's exponential growth, not additive.
Yeah, and I'm sure that everybody out there has been in a situation like that where you're brainstorming about things and you're slow a little bit, but when you start to understand things, all of a sudden it's amazing what goes up on the whiteboard in a few minutes just because you're working on this. I don't know where this came from, but I have a little note after synergize. This is the habit of creative cooperation. And creative cooperation, is, I think, is a really, really nice phrase. So that's what you're striving for. Creative cooperation is going to help you and your team achieve whatever you want to achieve.
Yeah, creative cooperation is a great definition of synergy. That really is it boiled down in a nutshell.
So wrapped around all of this is really the personal development side of things. And this is investing in yourself. It's called Sharpen the Saw. It's called the Habit of Self-Renewal. And it looks at not just your relationships like we were talking about in the first six habits, but it looks at your investment in your physical health, your mental health, your social interactions, your spiritual well-being. It's everything around that. And if you look at the diagram, we do have the triangle for private victory on the bottom. Again, be proactive, begin with the end in mind, and put first things first, which the point leads to independence, which brings you to the public victory habits of win-win, synergize, and seek first to understand, then be understood, which leads to interdependence. Wrapped around that whole two triangles is the sharpen the saw. It pulls everything together because it makes you the sound person that you need to be participating in these other six habits.
All right. And sharpening the saw really goes so far beyond, because it is about continuous improvement. So this one habit is actually at the core of so many management techniques, whether it's Kaizen, Six Sigma, all sorts of corporate theories boil down to how do you create continuous improvement? And that's what sharpening the saw is. Now, Covey took a much more personal look at it rather than looking at it as an organizational thing, because Seven Habits, he's really talking about what a person can do. But he really looks at it that there's four different areas that you need to sharpen the saw and keep improving. And it's mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And by taking those four aspects and always working on them, keep learning, keep exercising, keep pushing forward, practice empathy, practice your values. These not only keep building who you are, but really create the person you want to be.
Yeah, it's so important. In his calendar, he has those things listed there too. Again, the emotional, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. If those things are not in sync, the rest of these six habits are not going to work that well for you.
And those four items really do create a holistic method of building yourself up. When you focus on one of them but not the others, you're out of balance and you don't get the success that you're looking for. If you spend all of your time learning and focusing on the mental aspects, the more you're pushing yourself, the more you're pushing yourself, you're creating stress. You're actually taking away from the physical part of you. So you tend to, under stress, get sick, feel weak. So you need to work on exercise, nutrition, stress management to keep your physical self up to snuff, so that you're not having any trouble keeping up with the mental. Same thing goes with the emotional, the spiritual. They all need to be in balance. Otherwise, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, and we have talked often about the importance of personal strategic planning as far as being a big part of your life. Having plans for all these facets of your well-being, it is so important to have goals for these down that you're working on at all times. Because the bottom line is if you have a personal strategic plan, which is based upon your purpose and your why and your vision in life, all these things fall into place. It's great to have these as habits and things that you look at, but if you actually have a plan to make sure that you're getting all of these things done and addressing all of these things, and you have goals for these things, it's so, so important.
Absolutely. Because it's not enough to start working on the habits. You have to have it planned out. You have to have it as a process and part of who you are. You need to internalize it to keep benefiting from it. And that's one of the reasons I think it was so important for us to revisit it, because it is something you have to go back to periodically and make sure you're staying with it. So we're just about at the end of our time. So, Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway that our listeners should take from the Seven Habits?
You did mention that we talked about the go-giver. And as you are correct in saying that there's a whole lot of synergy between the two books. And it's all about making sure that the other person is benefiting from what's going on. And the bottom line is, you know that it's going to be coming back to you. So I think really one of the most important habits that we have is seek first to understand and then to be understood. And that kind of drives the rest of them. And obviously you need to work on them all together. And if they're all wrapped up in your personal strategic plan for sharpening the saw, this is a fantastic way to live through life, both personally and professionally.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway for me is that you really do need to revisit this periodically. Remember why it is these habits are so important. And each time you rededicate yourself to them, you really get more out of it. So it's in itself, it's sharpening the saw, because you're improving what you've already been working on, and you just keep going and keep moving forward. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, and wherever you find podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.